from the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. I thought I had this the opening ready because I've done that opening 200 times now. But then I thought about the debate. That's a true story. Thought about the debate for a split second and my mind gone. But we're not talking about the debate tonight. We're talking about something far more interesting with better villains. It's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man on Wednesday tonight, because last night was a special edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We had Billy Hills on the show, and gosh, it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Let's leave it at that.
I mean, we were in tears most of it, laughing so hard.
We really were, and Billy was a joy to have on. He was hilarious, and if Billy's listening, thank you for being on last night. It was a lot of fun. But we did pro wrestling last night, so tonight we're doing
continuation of Villainous Month.
Yes. On Podzilla 1985. And just real quick, I meant to say this last night on the pro wrestling show. I did not, but I do want to mention it. If you have, and we're talking about video games, so this kind of fits in. If you have WWE 2K17 on PlayStation 4, I highly advise you to go to downloads, search for the hashtag PZ85, where you can download your favorite Podzilla 1985 personalities. We'll be uploading them consistently. Right now we got me and Asa. And
Dalton's is up.
Tanner. Double H and Tanner are up right now.
Is Jesse up?
And Jesse. Yeah.
Is Allie up?
I'm created in the game.
I can only do five at a time. So I'll have to switch them out and rotate.
Although if enough
of you download them, then I can add more to the list. But for right now, we'll do this for probably about a week and then we'll switch them.
We're going to try to reinvigorate the WWE 2K17 create a wrestler community.
Somebody needs to, because they're messing up with that game just hardcore. But yeah, search for hashtag PZ85 and you can download your favorite Podzilla personalities. And it's a lot of fun. It's a good game. But yeah, we're talking about villains tonight. Tonight we're talking about video game villains specifically. And this, of course, is coming to you thanks to Villainous Grounds in Perryville. This is where I get to do my favorite plug. Jesse gets to do all the plugs. I get to do it today. Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Best coffee in the world. Best comic book store. Fantastic place. I highly suggest you go in and order the Samoa, because that's my favorite drink there.
Or their chai tea. It's amazing.
Chai tea's amazing, yeah.
Am I the only one that's disappointed that it's coffee and it's called the Samoa, that they didn't call it the Samoa Joe?
I mean, now I am, but they don't watch wrestling, so I'll give them a pass.
right now they do flavors all the time. Right now the flavor of the week is the cinnamon apple dulce.
Yeah,
dulce. How do you pronounce it? Dulce. Shannon's not too smart on these things. But like I said, my favorite is Samoa. Stay on the lookout. Very soon, coming to Villainous Grounds in Perryville, the Mr. 100. That's not a thing, but I'm telling them right now, if you want to bring in the customers, that next drink needs to be called the Mr. 100. You won't regret it. Do want to plug real quick, on October 29th, we're going to be doing a special show from Villainous Grounds. Nerd Up is. Jesse's going to have the fun of doing this one. He's going to be talking with author and comic book artist Jeremy Hahn, who's done a lot of cool stuff. That's going to be a part of Villainous Grounds All Day Comic Fest. That's going on from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. They're going to have, I think, a costume contest, coloring contest, all day sale on comics. That's going to be fantastic. That is in Perryville, Villainous Grounds, who's bringing you Villainous Month here on Podzilla 1985. Want to send a special shout out to them. Check them out on Facebook. You will not regret it. That is absolutely true. Yeah. And now that I got that out of the way, and thanks again to them, let me introduce my panel for tonight. As always, I'm Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man. I am Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100. I got Asa Gray, the Five-Star Man, down at the end of the table.
Five stars.
And because she passed her drug test, because she was a little too active on the last show, Ali Abear is here.
These are awful jokes.
That's not what the internet says.
Because we're supposed to listen to the internet.
I'm an Shannon internet darling. Is the internet. Yeah, I'm an indie darling. Don't you know?
Thought that was Dalton. Or does just Dalton know everything about
NXT
you?
NXT tonight.
Oh, what? What happened?
Roderick Strong was Austin Aries' partner.
So it was true.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah. So we got a lot of fan responses for this show. That's great. We've been having a lot of fun with Villains Month. It's probably, a couple of my favorite shows we've done. The comic book one was spectacular. The movie one was really good. I'm excited about video games. We're going to be talking about your choices here a little bit later. But first off, we're going to get this thing going. Ground rules, none, really.
Yeah. Is it in a video game?
Is it a bad guy? Yeah. We're all good. So with that said, we'll start with the Five-Star Man down at the end of the table. Asa, and again, in no particular order. Mm-hmm. Asa Gray, What do you got?
I do think I am going to save my favorite one for last.
Are you?
But
I did too, and it was completely by accident.
Yeah.
It was just when I was writing the list, this is how they fell.
I think that's the one I'm going to be able to talk about the most. So I'm going to start with one that might be a little bit surprising, and it might even be cheating a little bit, but I don't care. But the orcs as just a whole in Shadow of Mordor, Middle Earth, the whatever game that has seven different titles.
Assassin's Creed of the Rings.
Right. Asylum.
Yeah.
it's the first game and so far the only game. I'm surprised no one else has really taken advantage of this. There was a name of it. I'm gonna try to look it up. But the system,
the Nemesis engine.
Nemesis engine.
Yeah.
That's what it was. The Nemesis engine was so cool because as you were progressing through Mordor, there were certain generals. And then and they all answered to four war chiefs.
Right.
All of the generals had special perks as well as disadvantages. You know, some of them were afraid of fire. Some of them were enraged as soon as they were injured. So they got power buffs. Like, they all had kind of different abilities. And they were all, there was a limited pool that they came from, but they all, like, it was the combination was always different.
Yeah.
But the thing that I thought was really cool about that is, so you can kill your way through, you know, you can hunt these generals and take them all out eventually to get to the war chief, but eventually they will become replaced.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that they get promoted is if just some generic unnamed goon happens to kill you, they immediately become promoted. So they get a name, they get a title, they immediately, you see them kind of taunt you.
It gives you a reason to go kill him.
Exactly.
A vendetta.
Exactly. It gives you a reason to be like, oh, that one cheap shot that I couldn't get, I'm marking you. I'm coming for you. And I loved it. And one of the things, and I hadn't seen it until this is one of the few games that I've actually got the Platinum Trophy for on PS4. But one of the things that they did the first time I saw it was pretty late in my playthrough was, I don't remember what it was called, but if they beat you, they would leave you with like one bit of health left and then you're not worth my time. I'm not going to kill you again. And they leave.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah. And it was just like the first time that happened to me, I was so mad. Oh, I got so upset.
I watched Bob play that game. Okay, I didn't play it. I think I played it a little bit because I borrowed CJ's copy. CJ let me borrow it when he came out. And Bob played it mostly and I watched him play. And yeah, I remember the Nemesis system being super cool. And not only that, but the orcs themselves. My favorite orcs ever are, technically my favorite orcs ever are Ultima Online, but that's a different story. But World of Warcraft or Warcraft, I love the orcs in that because they're intelligent. They have their own society. But the orcs in Lord of the Rings were always just so monstrous and savage.
Yeah.
And the Shadows of Mordor game really portrayed that well of how violent and bloodthirsty and just cruel they can be. Nemesis system was a great part of that.
Yeah.
I wish they did do that in games more.
The only thing, like, I would love for them to make a second one, but they have to fix the biggest problem I had with that game, which the final boss fight, quick time event.
Yeah.
You spend this entire game honing your skill, getting better at it, earning these new abilities, earning these new strategies, and then
QT.
Oh yeah, you don't actually get to use all of those. You have to do a sneak mission and then QTE.
I get QTEs because in a lot of games that really adds to the cinematic feel of it. Mm-hmm. Whereas instead of just running up and hack and slash until something dies, they actually have like a scripted moment.
Right.
And it makes it look really cool. But there's a certain place and time to do that. I don't feel like a final boss fight is a good time to go, never mind.
I generally, I'm not a huge fan of QTEs. A series that I'm going to talk about a little bit later tonight is God of War. Mm. They did it great. Because a lot of the time, a lot of the bosses ended with a quick time event, but it was after the fight.
Right.
So like would get their health all the way down, like you would beat them in
an
actual fight.
It was a fatality, basically.
And then that was how you just ended the scene.
Right.
And it was also really cool that if you missed it, they got a little bit of their health back and you had to do it again and get it right again. It wasn't just keep doing it until you get it right.
You have a God of War villain on your list?
I do.
Is it Kratos?
It is not.
I hate Kratos.
I know.
you're
not wrong.
Yeah, what a bastard.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say. That's in the Bible. Billy Hills told me so. That's it.
And he's the expert.
He is. All right, we're gonna move on to Allie Abair, who's got her first choice. I already know her list. It's a very interesting list, and she did it all by herself. And I only say that because she asked me for help with the last two because she couldn't think of stuff and we were brainstorming.
No, I picked out the movie list. It was just the comic book one.
Did you do the movie list all on your own? Didn't I?
Yes.
That's because you watch a lot of Disney.
Yes.
Well, what do you got on this?
For my first pick, I want to do the one that I have most recently dealt with.
There's like one mosquito in here, by the way, and he will not leave me alone. Sorry. That's the villain, is that mosquito.
But this would be the guinea pig or groundhog, whatever animal it is from Unraveled, because he keeps eating me, and I'm annoyed with it, and I'm not finished with the game, and I guarantee I'm going to see him again.
It takes a lot to get Allie to play video games, and she really likes Unravel.
It's beautiful.
It is a gorgeous game. It's a very cool game.
And the Yarny looks like a little yarn red cat.
Devil cat, like your cat. But there's this little, I don't know what it is, if it is a groundhog
or a guinea pig or a rodent of some kind.
And you have to run from it. There's different parts and it keeps eating your little yarny self.
Who
beat that for you?
I've seen this guy many times.
He comes back? He's a recurring villain?
Yes.
What have you named him?
If you had to give
him a name, what would you give him?
I can't say it on the air.
Billy Hills would.
He'd punch him in the mouth.
He doesn't care. And all that little guinea pigs crack babies.
No.
God, what did Billy Hills do to us? So the guinea pig, have we confirmed it's a guinea pig?
No.
Just some.
But it looks, it's a small rodent of some kind.
Cody, we know you're listening. Research this and find out what that thing was. And if you get a chance, play Unravel, because it is a beautiful game.
I've seen you play it at the store. It is a gorgeous game.
It takes a lot to get her to play games. She doesn't play games with me, you know, very much. She'll watch me play games, but I like to get people involved. You know, I hate playing games while people watch and they're just there watching you play, because then I feel like I'm wasting their time. It's like you could be doing so many other cool things, but you're sitting here watching me do stuff. So for me to be able to sit and watch her play Unravel is really fun for me. I like that.
But I get so irritated with video games.
I know. And we've got some more on the list that, cause here's the thing with Allie. She doesn't play a lot of video games, but the ones she picks are the most infuriating ones.
No, cause my favorite game is Kirby Air Ride, but there isn't a villain in that one. So I couldn't pick a villain from that game.
Why are you slamming your fist on the table as you talk?
She's so angry.
All right. Let's go on to Shannon. Shannon, what do you got? Well, my first pick for this, I really debated this. This is a hard list for me. This is probably even harder than the movie one, because my first pick is from Castlevania, and there are so many amazing villains in Castlevania that I had to pick one, and I think I picked a surprising one. If Bryant is listening, he's going to get this. I don't know how many other people will. Slagra and Gaibon from Symphony of the Night. You fight them individually in Castlevania 4. One's like a winged creature, and the other is like almost like a dinosaur skeleton with a spear. And they're nothing special, per se. Like, they don't really do anything amazing. They're just a random boss fight. But the fact that I fought them in Castlevania 4, and then they came back in Symphony of the Night together, and you have to fight them at the same time, and they, like, pick each other up and do stuff together, that's just always been one of the most memorable boss fights for me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of better boss fights and villains, but there was just something about Slagra and Gaibon that stuck with me forever. So I'm putting them as my first pick just based on that warm, fuzzy feeling. But Castlevania alone just is filled with some of the best villains of all time. Because a lot of the villains from Castlevania are just monster villains, you know, movie monsters. Mm-hmm. Dracula, Frankenstein, you know, people like that. It's a great game series, or at least it was, until Konami decided to do pachinko machines. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Pachinko? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Who the hell cares? Screw Konami.
Yeah, they're the real video game villains. Them and Capcom.
And EA. And 2K for releasing a buggy 2K17. All right, so Slagra and Gaibon. That's my first picks. Look them up. And the music for the boss fight's incredible.
They do look scary.
Are you looking them up right now? Show Allie real quick.
There is these guys.
Yep, that's Slagra and Gaibon.
Spooky.
Yes.
They're just so cool. It's just so cool to see them. And the music for the boss fight is awesome, as is the entire Symphony of the Night soundtrack.
Oh, they are large.
They're pretty big.
So they take up, like, that. Looking at the screen of, like, there's not a lot of maneuverability.
They're
looks
monsters.
Like.
Yeah. They're big monsters. So that's my first pick. Asa, what else you got?
Number two is going to go to Officer Tenpenny in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Voiced by?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes, he deserves to be in that game.
He does.
And I hope he made some money.
He was just... This one and probably the next one that I do is just one of the things that made him so memorable for me. And so doing this list, I had my three that came to mind immediately. And then I was like, I'm just kind of blanking. Cause I, again, like you, I played so many games.
Right.
There's so much stuff just in my head. It's kind of like an overload.
Yeah.
So I just kind of looked up like a top 100 villains list and clicked my way through it. And as soon as I saw that name, just it hit me, the flashbacks hit me like a truck. Just like, okay, yeah, this dude, one of the things that made him so memorable to me or that I had to like repress away was just how badly I wanted to kill him. In the game, he was there was no redeeming qualities about him. I know on the movie list,
you liked redeemable villains.
We talked about not even necessarily redeemable, but just like the tragic backstory,
the layers,
or something. Yeah, the layers of okay, well, this is why they feel justified in their actions. There is none of that at all with Tenpenny. He is just a power hungry, corrupt monster.
Do you kill him in the game?
No. I don't remember now. Because I know for sure he gets arrested, but then he gets acquitted, which then starts the riots. And
I'm looking it up right now too.
Cause it's been so long since that's actually one of the first things when I rebought my PS2.
Frank Tenpenny.
Yep. When I rebought my PS2, I actually, that was the first game that I bought again, was San Andreas.
And he definitely does die.
Okay, yeah. Because, oh, yep, sure does. He, but yeah, just that, the acquittal, I just remember even, you know, being younger, just like, that was a really powerful moment. Because that great, San Andreas was kind of still, before they went really just kind of realistic with Grand Theft Auto 4, San Andreas, like, that was the first, you know, Vice City was good. But the story was, it was a good 80s kind of like for that game that it was.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, this is the 90s in LA, Los Santos.
Yeah, those old Grand Theft Autos really captured the era well, I think. Which I don't feel like they do that as well with GTA 5 and GTA 4.
Mm-hmm.
The cities are better.
Yeah.
But San Andreas really did feel like, I mean, it felt like an NWA video. You know,
yeah.
It was that style.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vice City felt like Miami Vice.
Yeah.
It was cool stuff,
yeah.
But now they're so serious and so they take themselves so seriously.
And Tenpenny was just over the top enough because it was Samuel Jackson that, you know, there was still a lot of comedy coming out of that game because that game was still kind of goofy.
Yeah.
But man, just, oh, he was such a,
he kind of reminded
me. We're trying not to cuss. And it's just this is one that's just like, oh, you are the worst.
He kind of reminded me of a more despicable version of Denzel Washington's character from Training Day.
Yeah.
Just that loud, boisterous cop,
mm-hmm.
You know? That's another good pick. I would never thought of that one. You're schooling me.
And again, to be fair, I didn't either. I had to go through the list and just, as soon as I saw that name, it clicked.
So he made the list.
He did. He goes on the list. No, you couldn't hear that, but I did the writing sound.
He did the list. Allie?
Okay, so I can't be on a show that's talking about video games and not bring up a Kirby-related thing. So I have King Dedede on my list.
He only makes my list. But you give your reason first, because it's probably a lot more legitimate than mine.
What, he's on your list?
No. He's not on my list.
Okay.
But the reason that if he was...
Are you sure it's more legitimate than yours?
I can guarantee
I'm
it.
I'm thinking I he don't and I think actually have so. The exact same reason that he's on the list.
I bet we do.
You go ahead first. You just like him because
it's in Kirby, and he's a penguin with a hammer.
That big old hammer,
the game hammer, the band hammer.
And in Smash Bros, he leans over and will like lay down.
Yeah,
like,
he relaxes. Yeah. He relaxes in between. He's such a jerk.
Which that is the because I love you so dearly, Jesse. I do. But when we were playing Smash Brothers for a while, which we haven't played in so long.
Mm-hmm.
Thank Christ.
Right? Yeah. Suplex City.
No, that was awesome. Allie almost spit her drink out there. That brought back memories.
Because Jesse, I don't remember what he was called, but King DDD was his troll character.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he always just did the lay down.
Yeah.
And he had those stupid,
and he would roll.
Yeah, he had the roll and he would hit them with the hammer, those spiky things that would come
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just so infuriating. Like, even Jesse's just like, he's a bad character, but he's so much fun to use. And then he just annihilates me with him.
The reason I didn't have him is because of the cartoon, his accent, that Boss Hog style accent that he has for like whatever reason.
Giant Texan
yeah.
accent.
Yeah.
Also, Suplex City, for those people that don't know, I just want to point out, because this is my favorite. I'm not very good at Smash Brothers anymore. I used to be decent, not anymore. But what I do like to do, in the vein of Brock Lesnar, is pick Bowser, grab him in the suplex where he flies up and comes down, mm-hmm. and just yell Suplex City every time. Yep. And count him.
Yeah.
Count him.
And make sure you're in the arena that's actually a yes,
the boxing ring. The punch-out boxing ring.
Or if you're somewhere else and you're one stock ahead, grab him and take him off the side.
That's what I was going to say.
Everyone hated me before the game. Then they really hated me. So King DDD, I think Lindsay would like that choice too because she's a big fan of DDD. I wonder if he made her list. I got the list here. I don't think so. No, you're good. You're solid. I don't
well,
like
I already said it.
Repeats.
Yeah, I don't like repeats. Yeah. Like even accidental, I hate when people repeat. Looking at the list that you guys have given us, I don't see a single repeat, which just shows you how diverse video games
I mean,
are.
Yeah, especially because there's been like a jillion. I will say like a couple of the lists that I looked to, a lot of them had the same like three or four characters that were in there. And one of them was on there so much and they made them sound so cool. It actually makes me want to go back and play one of the games.
Who is it?
Kefka. Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
Because like he was on so many lists. And it's like, oh, that actually kind of sounds neat, but then I would have to play Final Fantasy, and that's just, and I'm not saying anything bad about Final Fantasy, that's just not a genre of RPG that...
It takes a lot.
Yeah.
Six is probably my second favorite behind nine. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, a lot of people will either put Kefka or Sephiroth.
See, and that was the thing, is like, I was always expecting Sephiroth to be higher up on these lists.
Well...
Only because he was more popular.
I was gonna say, there's two kinds of people for these lists, and I'm gonna get crap for this. There's the... popular vote, the people that are just like, oh, look at me, I'm an RPGer, I love Final Fantasy. And they pick Sephiroth because he's the name brand. But then there's the people that dislike Sephiroth for that very reason and pick Kefka because they think they're smarter than everybody else. I'm sorry, Hunter, I don't mean you.
The Final Fantasy hipsters.
Because that's one of Hunter's choices. I think that's his only choice, actually. And he's absolutely right.
Right.
Like, Kefka, to me, is a better villain than Sephiroth. In fact, the whole ending where he becomes the angel or whatever was in Final Fantasy VI with Kefka. It's just the difference between playing it on Super Nintendo and the people that picked up Final Fantasy on PlayStation was huge. It was a much bigger audience.
Right.
So, yeah, there's that. Whose turn is it? I don't remember.
Yours.
Oh, okay.
Shannon, who you got?
The Nameless King from Dark Souls 3. I hate this guy. of all the bosses, and I sat there and watched, and if you've played Dark Souls 3, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Let me set the stage for you. You walk into this giant cloudy mist. You can't really see the ground. And here comes a guy riding a dragon who comes down right in front of you.
I remember this. I remember watching you do this.
Because as a little sidebar for the audience at home, for a while, you were playing nothing but
Dark Souls.
Bloodborne, Dark Souls, Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
And there were multiple times I would come into the store to either relieve you for my shift or while you were here before we started watching wrestling. And there was a lot of time on that screen dedicated to this guy.
Yeah. I hated him, and I watched Bob fight him. He comes out on his dragon, but he's so cool. That's like, he's a difficult boss, and he's so, like, such an interesting design. He's riding his dragon. Once you kill him, no, he jumps off the dragon, and now he's even worse. And he's just one of the hardest bosses. I finally had to get someone to help me with it. I think Bob did too. We both finally beat it. And even though there's a ton of interesting bosses and villains in Dark Souls, he's the one that still sticks out for me the most. Just the epic intro. And if there was a second place, the gaping dragon from the first Dark Souls, you see this thing come up. It's this tiny little head. And you're like, oh, that's cute. And then this giant dragon that its stomach is completely open with teeth. Mm-hmm. And it lays back.
Oh yeah, I've seen you, cause it's almost like it reminds me of kind of like the back half is just kind of like a traditional dragon.
Yeah.
But then the front half is almost like slug-like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but this sounds gross. The limp part will then like raise back.
Up, yeah. To show the giant teeth.
And then, the underside, the entire underside will just open up in this giant tooth-filled mouth.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare looking thing.
It's a creepy monster, but I still want to go with the Nameless King because he was just so awesome. Yeah. Loved him.
He always did look super cool.
Yeah.
That lightning spear.
The lightning spear, the dragon. Mm-hmm. Like, dragon riders to me are always cool anyway. That whole area was really cool. And Dark Souls is a fantastic game.
Yeah.
But so that is my choice for number two. Asa.
Okay, so my number three comes from Saints Row 3.
Oh, God, yes.
Killbane. He is the leader of the Luchadors, which is a gang in Steelport. They are wrestler, Mexican wrestler masks, themed, criminals.
Yes.
Which Saints Row 3 is probably one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
All of the gangs were really cool. You had the Syndicate, which was them all kind of together. I'm blanking on the other ones, but there was the tech based one.
Oh God, what was the tech based? Cause Matt was the leader of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember they were hackers.
And Kinsey is who you get Kinsey to help take them down.
Yeah.
And then he becomes
an ally.
Yeah. And then that's like a Tron style level.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. And then I'm blanking on the third gang altogether. The red.
Wasn't like the Morningstar?
Morningstar, yeah. Who was kind of like loosely based on like the Yakuza.
Yeah.
Trinidad, gang style. And then you had the Luchadors. And everyone listening to the show knows I'm a wrestling fan. So the idea that there was, and it turns out that they easily could have just made this a cheap kind of throwaway. Oh, they're just a bunch of Mexican wrestlers. No, it's very clear that the developers at Saints Row have a respect for pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Hulk Hogan actually was the voice of your ally.
Yeah, who was fighting against the Luchadors. Who was
fighting against the Luchadors.
Yeah. Kill Bane's archenemy.
A lot of the poses and stuff you could select for your creative character were wrestling, famous wrestling poses. You could do the Ric Flair strut, Hogan's.
John Cena. Yeah, John Cena. Can't see me.
But the thing that I loved about this was I don't remember if it was the final time you fight Killbane or not. I don't think it was, but whenever you kind of disassemble that gang, you have to go to basically their pay-per-view, which is Murder Brawl. And it's this giant, like, you just have to, it's kind of like a horde mode. You just have to go wave after wave of these enemies in a wrestling ring.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun. It's so cool. There's so many little nods to wrestling, that because so often it's so easy to mock pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
I totally get it. It's totally justified. But to see someone out of nowhere really like take it so seriously. Cause in the first, I don't know if I actually beat the first game or not. But the second game I also really loved. But even in that one, there were kind of, you know, certain poses and, gestures you could do
that were wrestling-esque.
But no, this one just fully embraced it.
I don't know how you made a decision on a villain from Saints Row. Cause when you mentioned that to me, the name that popped up in my head just first off was Dane Vogel from Saints Row 2. The Ultor guy.
Yeah.
Voiced by Jay Moore.
Ultor was so good.
And you kill him, but then in Gat Out of Hell, he helps you because he's in hell now and he's still successful as a businessman. But Saints Row had the like best characters. And that's why I like Saints Row better than Grand Theft Auto because the characters were just way more fun and interesting. The villains especially were just so good. And Saints Row has probably the coldest moment I've ever seen in a video game.
Two?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Aaliyah?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And what do they do to the guy that did it?
Horrible things.
They bury him alive. He's screaming in the coffin as they go in. And it's like, oh man. And they leave him there. And I think there's even people will walk around and say, like, you can hear screams in the graveyard at night. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just like cold as hell. Johnny Gat does not play.
No, he does not. Johnny Gat is the coolest.
If we ever did our favorite video game heroes, he would be on my list.
He'd be on my list.
Although he's a real bad hero.
The only problem with him is I feel like they knew that they had this, you know, fire in a bottle. And so they kind of take him out of both two or about out of three and four.
Well, he's in four.
Well, he's in four, but very, like, not until later.
Yeah, you eventually get him.
Yeah.
But he was one of the selling points. I remember before the game came out, they were like, oh, Johnny Gat's in the game. And I was like, really? Because he's supposed to die in three.
Right.
Which sucked.
And then they did a Gat Out, which he also was supposed to die in two. And, never really stuck until, I guess, Gat Out of Hell, which I still haven't played.
My favorite part about Johnny Gat, I'm getting a whole Johnny Gat show here. He's voiced by Daniel Day Kim.
Yep.
Who was from Lost.
Yep.
Who barely spoke English in Lost. But then you hear him in Saints Row, and
he's a great actor, and he does such a great job of like making you think he actually can't speak English.
Right. Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah.
I love Johnny Gat.
So yeah, that's how is just because the wrestling tie,
right?
Especially then because he kind of went on to become the big villain.
Yeah.
Later on in the game, so.
And I didn't expect that. I thought the Syndicate guy.
But then Loren, yeah.
He died quick.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Cause he was I was like watching him. I'm just like, oh, this dude's going to be badass.
Yeah. He's the rich, then, like sophisticated bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then you crush him
with a giant chandelier
really quickly. And then Killbane breaks the necks of one of the sisters. And yeah, it's a cold game. Then they went to space.
Yeah. And they got superpowers.
And apparently the next one, you're going to time travel. I'm not kidding. Saints Row is nuts. Allie, who you got?
For this one, I want to say Koopa Troopas and Dry Bones.
Which is a variation of the Koopa Troopa.
Yes.
It's the undead Koopa Troopa. It's the Halloween version.
Yes.
The
fitting for the month we are in. Mostly because, well, they're turtles. And I love turtles. And because it's they're a part of one of the few video games I've played.
And you got to feel bad for the Koopa Troopas.
Mm-hmm.
How many thousands have been slaughtered over the years in Super Mario Brothers?
It's really an argument that can be made that Mario is the greatest video game villain.
Because he destroys their homes.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the blocks in Mario Brothers, as in the book, are
citizens
of the Mushroom Kingdom who've been turned to stone.
Yep.
So every time you break a block, you're basically breaking someone in half.
Right. They don't even do the Sonic thing where their true form pops out. Yeah. They're not just in a cage in that block. They are the block.
And you don't even get anything. You don't get anything from a block.
Oh, you're
other
just
than
doing
points.
It for the fun of it.
Yeah. You tell that mushroom's family.
How many Yoshis must
How many
die?
Points you got for killing his dad?
Oh.
Well,
so Mario is Billy Hills. He doesn't care. He'll punch him in the mouth. Sorry, Allie. Koopa Troopas.
Everything has turned into Billy Hills.
It's the takeover.
And I can tie Dry Bones into Castlevania because there's a Castlevania villain. I'm trying to remember which one came first, Castlevania 1 or Mario 3, and I'm almost completely sure it was Castlevania. But there's a villain in Castlevania, the skeletons that are red do the exact same thing. No matter how many times you hit them, they'll shamble and they'll break apart and then they'll come back together after a few seconds and keep fighting. Mm-hmm. And the Dry Bones and Mario do the exact same thing.
Right.
So.
Which those always bugged me. I just, cause they would always, I would think I have the timing down and I never did. Cause I would think, okay, no, I still got an extra second to be able to make this jump. Reanimate, kill me.
I especially hate them in the later games, like in the new Super Mario Brothers, where when you jump on the big ones' heads, they just laugh.
Yeah.
They just look at the screen and it's kind of,
you mock me.
Yeah.
I could delete you.
I've murdered your entire family. I probably killed you in one of the previous games, and that's why you're back as a bones. Stupid
as a
turtle.
Bones.
There's also a Dry Bowser.
Yeah. He's cool.
Which is basically Bowser's version of Dry Bones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Koopa Troopas are so adorable too. I hate killing them. I try to jump over them if I can. I don't kill them. I don't kill Goombas. I just don't. That's a rule.
It's a rule. It's a good rule. Save the turtles.
Save the turtles. All right.
Who you got, Shannon?
I'm going to disagree with everyone that says Kefka, and because I actually have a Final Fantasy villain on my list.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not Kefka. It's not Sephiroth, even though I understand both of their places. My favorite Final Fantasy villain is actually Kuja from Final Fantasy IX. And I'm going to need you to look up Kuja real quick, Kuja, because I thought it was a girl the first time I saw it. There's no voice acting in Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah.
So you can't tell what he is. And the first time you see him in the cutscene is...
He's very pretty.
He's extremely pretty. Yeah. His outfit is an interesting choice. He is like one of those egomaniacal characters that doesn't really think he's wrong. And he manipulates everybody and has a particularly sad death in the story. The thing I liked most about him is the game had a thing called trance mode where you would fight somebody and then he would go into trance and like he got all these weird colors and feathers and it was really strange. And he had the best battle music. It was the Dark Messenger. In fact, that'll be tonight's opener, by the way. So if you heard tonight's opening song, that's Kuja's trance theme. And I just always loved him as a villain. I love Final Fantasy IX altogether. It's my favorite Final Fantasy. I literally cried at the end of the game. I think I've told this story before. We were sitting in my room and I'm playing Final Fantasy IX and all my friends are there doing something else and they're all being really loud. And the game ends. They play this song called Melodies of Life, which I love this song. And the final FMV plays and I just turn around and I start yelling at everybody, like tears in my eyes, like, shut up! Shut up! Stop talking! And I just stared at the screen with tears rolling down my face. They all got really strange and they didn't come back for a while. But
they disappeared.
So Kuja from Final Fantasy IX, that's my Final Fantasy pick. And that's all I'll say about that.
That's a good one. Let me pull my list back up because
it was hard to pick too. Because there's also Beatrix in that game, who if she didn't turn good, probably would have made the list instead. Because she's just awesome, awesome. There's also the Thorn and Zorn, the two. Oh man, Final Fantasy has a lot of great villains too.
I mean, yeah, because there's been about 16 games.
No, it's the Final Fantasy. You know, I used to be able to tell people when they would say, if it's called Final Fantasy, why is there 20 of them? Mm-hmm. And I would say, well, each story is contained within its own game. So Final Fantasy IX is Final Fantasy IX. That's the only story that they've put out.
Those characters in that
but
universe.
Then,
Final
then
Fantasy 10-2.
10-2, then 13, 13-2, 13-3. Yeah,
did they do 13-3?
They did. Lightning Returns. That. Yeah, and they.
Oh, I didn't know that was 13-3. I knew that. I just thought it was like a offshoot, like they did with a seven Cerberus, Dirge of Cerberus.
Dirge of Cerberus.
Yeah.
Nope. They continued it. Seven got sequels in Dirge of Cerberus and Advent Children and Crisis Core, and then 10 got 10-2.
I thought Advent Children was a movie.
It is, but I count it just because it carries it on.
Okay, I got you.
And then 13, they just really went crazy with it because they really wanted to push Lightning as the new Cloud, but nobody wanted it.
Well, lightnings come from clouds. Get it? Does it make sense now?
God! Please move on.
Shit is gonna kill me. My next one, you're gonna hate, because I'm
about to drink water. Don't make me do a spit take, please.
Oh, you're not gonna, cause you're not gonna laugh. It'll be a rage one. It's not gonna be a laugh. I'm agonizing over this. It's one of the villains, it's one of the bosses from God of War 3. Because
is it Hercules?
Maybe? Like, I don't know. I'm just gonna do them all just rapid fire real quick.
Okay.
Because, so God of War is a series. The first game only had like four bosses, I think. But all of the combat in that game was really just visceral and hard, and it was great. And then these giant boss fights, the Hydra, the Minotaur, and then eventually Ares, like, it really kind of, it was so satisfying. And then God of War 2 kind of stepped up the game with some more bosses. But God of War 3 has so many just, great bosses, because everyone's evil in these games. Normally, I'm not a fan of like TV shows or comics or just media in general that doesn't have a likable character.
Yeah.
And Kratos is not likable even a little bit.
Not at all. That's the reason I never played the series.
But the Greek gods are so much worse-ish. I don't know. Maybe not. But so this is kind of the climax of the story with God of War 3. And it's amazing because all of these, because this is really, it's a trilogy of games. Like, the stuff from the first game matters in the third game. And it's refreshing to see. But also, whenever you kill one of these gods, you gain an ability. So, like, Hermes. It's so brutal and over the top and violent. But it's amazing, too, because, like, so Hermes, you rip off his legs to gain his speed. So now you can do these, like, little bolts of extra speed.
Which is the one you rip off their head?
That is Helios.
Because that one bugs me.
Helios is also the one that was also, that was my third one.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's good. And they all play differently. So, like, Helios, you had to break through his, he had a phalanx of soldiers. Hermes, you had to, you had to do this chariot race type deal. It was awesome. But yeah, Helios, eventually you just rip off his head. That you then carry around with you for the remainder of the game, that you use to lighten up dark passages and point out secrets.
I remember seeing that kill, and it really, like, there's not many things that really bug me that make me squeamish, but that one,
that
just
one's rough.
Seeing the muscles tear and the skin tear and him screaming while you do it, that one bothers me.
It's bad.
That's like Day of the Dead movie style for me, because I can't watch that movie for the same reasons.
Hercules is another great one, because that's when you get, I won't pronounce it right, but it's the giant lion faces, weapon. So it's your heavy weapon that you basically have these giant boxing gloves, but they're stone lion faces.
And he was voiced by Kevin Sorbo.
Yep.
Who played Hercules in the
90s
TV show. And I love that show. So I found out, Kevin Sorbo is Hercules? I might play, what happens to him?
He lifts up the arena that you're fighting him in above his head that you then use these fists to pummel your way through the ground. He gets trapped and then, punches happen, and it's rough.
And you, like, beat his face off, basically.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
And I didn't like that. I hate Kratos.
It's so over the top. But the one, it's gotta be my number one, is Hades. He has these you eventually get his weapon. So you're using the chains of Hades, the hooks of Hades against him. You pull out his own soul that you then use to safely traverse the river Styx. And you're not the one that kills him. All of these souls from Hades will then come out, like rush out through the river Styx and tear him away. And you can actually find his corpse. You actually have to swim through his corpse that has now this giant exit wound, I guess.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's rough. But that is one of my favorite weapons in the game, are these hooks, because they play similar to the blades, but they have extra, like, pulling and different combos you can do with them, and they're just so much fun. And I love the idea of just, like, you pull out his soul out of him.
And plus just the fact that the Greek gods were the villains, I mean, that's so cool. That's good.
And I will say, in Kratos' defense, like, he's not the hero. It's kind of a cautionary tale. It's like Moby Dick, you know, it's a cautionary tale. When you let vengeance do nothing but blind you, bad things happen. Because also what happens, so you kill Helios, the sun goes out. You kill Hermes, and his body just kind of explodes into this wave of bugs that spread famine and pestilence across all of Olympus and Greece.
Hate Kratos.
I know, but those games are so much fun, and those boss battles, especially in 3, like Poseidon was great, Zeus was great. Zeus was especially brutal, but no, Hades was the hooks you get from it, and just that idea that, okay, now the god of Hades is gone, so all of the all of these souls that he has been keeping captive and torturing, they get their
revenge on him.
Revenge on him.
Someone gets revenge on Kratos. Allie, what do you got?
For this one,
I know. I'm sorry.
Kind of is similar to my first pick because it's the spider from Limbo.
Yeah.
So when we were walking back from Dollar Store, and she was like, I'm trying to think of another one. Like, she's trying to think of what video game she played. And she's like, I played Limbo, and I was like, well, what about the spider? And she just stops and goes, the spider!
Because I also love the fact that basically you just found this game and handed me the controller and was like, here, play this. And I was like, why is this so sad looking?
Yeah.
And then I died the first time. I was like, what?
Because it's violent. Heads pop off.
And I'm just playing this and I keep dying because that's what you do in that game. And Billy's just laughing in the background, like, every time I die.
And that spider was legit terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, the way it moved, the fact that it's all silhouetted and it's just black. Limbo's a creepy game, and that spider, like, that's a good villain. Never says a word. You don't really have any motivation. He's just a spider.
And if the spider is dead, it can still kill you.
Yeah.
Those death animations too.
Oh, they're brutal.
Yeah.
For an indie game that's all in black and white with a little kid.
Those minimalists, it's so good. That's a really good one. Have you played Journey? I think you'd like it. It's kind of in the same vein of just kind of those like side scrolly puzzle, not necessarily combat focused, but I think you'd really like it.
Yeah.
I've heard good things. Mm-hmm. That's on my list. But I have a happier fourth. For mine. And that's the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters on 360 and PS3. This is kind of a cheat, I guess, because I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. Me and Hunter is. And Cody just got into it recently, which is really fun.
Cody, I love you.
So we have something to talk about. But if you've played the old Ghostbusters games, they're terrible. They're not terrible. They were a product of their time. But the newer Ghostbusters game that came out a couple years ago on 360 and PS3 by Terminal Reality was so good. It was the third movie, and I think it was the third level, you hear the familiar stomping, the Marshmallow Man's back. And not only is he back, but they did it in a way that's not just fan service. Mm-hmm. It's not just them going, oh, look, we got the Marshmallow Man back. You guys remember him, right? You know, like the new movie did when he appeared as a balloon. Ace hasn't seen it, long story. But not only is it just cool to see the Marshmallow Man in the game, because it's the Marshmallow Man. Mm-hmm. They did him justice. He's gigantic. As you're running up buildings, all of a sudden the wall will smash out by his hand and he'll look inside at you. And then when you get to the top, he's climbing up the building to get to you, and they're hanging you upside down where you're hanging off the building, shooting him with your proton pack, trying to stop him from getting to you. It was a really cool boss fight. And anything that I can say positive about Ghostbusters, especially that game, I will do, because that was so much fun. And if you are a Ghostbusters fan, if you have not played it, please do yourself a favor. Go back and play it right now. Written by the original writers, Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. Has all the original cast in it, except for Rick Moranis and Sigourney Weaver for some reason. But they did add Alyssa Milano. And Brian Doyle Murray. And the boss fights were really good. And you also fight a Slore. I just remembered that.
A what now?
You remember in the first Ghostbusters movie of when they're talking to Louis Tully, Rick Moranis, and he's telling them about Judgment Day, and he was talking about the history of like Zool and how they roasted in the stomach of a Slore. It's just a creature from another dimension. Mm-hmm. And in the Ghostbusters game, you fight a baby one, which is of course gigantic.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. But the Marshmallow Man is definitely just one of the most iconic villains, and to see him in a game, it's it was so hard for me not to pick just movie games with villains. Like, I wanted to pick Alec Trevelyan from 007 from GoldenEye.
Yeah.
I wanted to put him on my movies list too, because Sean, I love 006. Like, he was one of my favorite characters.
Sean Bean is amazing in that too.
And he was great in the game, like just fighting him. But it's too easy. I feel like it's too easy to pick
The example that I wanted to do that I didn't is Scarecrow in Arkham Asylum.
Right.
Because he had the best segments in those games.
But you almost feel like you're cheating.
Yeah, because it's like I've said my piece about Scarecrow. I even talked about the games on the comic list, but
I'm just glad I got to talk about 006. I was kicking myself that I didn't put him on my list for the movies.
Well, next week.
The anonymous one.
Is our miscellaneous. I was going to get it right. I trained myself. Oh, Shannon, why? Why you do this? Miscellaneous. We're going to, the ones we didn't get to / just other forms of media.
Random ones.
Yeah.
Books, TV, anything else.
I think Hunter will be happy with the Marshmallow Man. And I think if Cody's gotten around to watching the first movie, he'll know who it is. So he should be pretty sure. All right. Before we get to our main ones, which I think for Asa and I is actually our favorite ones. Allie, I don't know. You didn't put yours in an order.
I kind of did, not necessarily.
Well, here's what we got from the internet. We have a lot of responses too. Thank you guys so much for talking about this. Stephen Bright from Podzilla 1985 said David from The Last of Us, nothing scarier than a cannibal cornering you with nothing to defend yourself with. What did the cannibal say to the other cannibal?
Oh, dear Lord.
This clown tastes funny to you?
You've messed it up.
I know, because I actually don't know the joke.
The joke is, what did one cannibal say to the other cannibal after they got finished eating the clown? Did that taste funny to you?
And your mom
and
likes
again,
that joke.
My mom, that is my mom's all-time favorite joke. Tears in her eyes, red-faced, can't breathe, laughing every time, which then makes me laugh, but it's never at the joke.
it's at
her laughing so hard.
I don't think my mom liked that joke, but my parents loved Hee-Haw. That's the real villain. John Volkerding says Sarah Kerrigan from StarCraft. It's a solid choice. Sagat from Street Fighter 2, and Yuri from Street Fighter 4/5, or Yuri, however you pronounce it. I want to say that I really wanted to put Vega from Street Fighter on my list, because I know a lot of people love Sagat because he's so big and cool, but Vega, man, Vega was always
the mask,
the way he would come down, and he would flip around and jump on the cage, and they had that cool, like, almost Spanish music. I don't know the right term for it. So I'm gonna say mariachi, because it wasn't really mariachi. It was just, they called him the Spanish ninja, and it's just awesome. Vega was the coolest character. So I disagree with Sagat. And any Rainbow Road from Mario Kart. Agreed.
I really wanted to put a Mortal Kombat character on my list, but they made me too angry.
Can you put a course as your favorite villain? Because I get Rainbow Road sucked on every game.
I'll allow it.
Oh, and I was wrong. Lindsay did have Koopa Troopers. That's fine. Koopa Troopas. Oh, by the way, Lindsay Wolfgang from Godzilla. Sorry, Lindsay. Koopa Troopas. Sour Pinatas from Viva Pinata. That's cute. Mirror B from Pokemon Gale of Darkness. I remember him. If I remember correctly, he has a giant afro.
Giovanni almost made my list.
From the original Pokemon?
Yeah.
Team Rocket. Actually, any of the evil teams in Pokemon, she says, with a smiley emoticon. And then Clive Dove, a.k.a. Future Luke, from Professor Layton and the Unwound Future. Never played any Layton games. They always look fun, but I'm not smart enough to play those games.
I guarantee you. Like, if I would get 30 minutes into it, and then it would just be me reading off of an internet walkthrough. Because I'm the worst human.
And again, Hunter Hendricks said Kefka. He says, Kefka, hands down, Final Fantasy VI turns into survival horror about halfway through, and it's 100% because of the Final Fantasy version of the Joker. Because Kefka is a clown.
Yeah.
He's a jester, a harlequin, or whatever. You know. And he wins. He's one of the few Final Fantasy villains that wins. He destroys the world, and the later half of the game takes place after the apocalypse, which is really, really awesome. And then Aaron Picard and him go back and forth on it. Read it if you want. I think it's the first time we've said her name on the show, Audra Novak. She said, a friend of all of us here, Atlas from Bioshock. It's good. And Silent Hill, the town. I guess if we can have a course in Mario Kart as a villain, an entire town could be a villain.
Well, and when
look at Chaffee.
When her and Steven were here tonight, she kind of talked, because I was like, oh, Pyramid Head. And I knew she's a big fan of Silent Hill. But she's like, well, he's just kind of a projection of the city.
The main characters.
The city is, you know, really what is wrong. And, like, you know, it's all kind of.
That's true. It's Silent Hill is the villain.
Yeah.
It really is. And Silent Hill's another one with a lot of good villains. I feel like Pyramid Head is that one everyone goes to. because he's so memorable.
Mm-hmm. Those and the nurses. Or him and the nurses.
Yeah. Well, there's a very
specific reason.
Twisted scene for that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those PlayStation graphics. Dalton Anthony.
I don't know. Sounds like a loser.
Nah, doesn't ring a bell. He says Apocalypse from X-Men Legends 2.
Okay.
No, he's right. It's a good game.
That's a great game. That's a, I remember that fight as being just, stop it.
Yeah. And the X-Men, I always liked the X-Men Legends games more than Ultimate Alliance. I really did. Because I prefer X-Men. That's my favorite. Jared Davis. Never thought I'd say this on the show. The Great Mighty Pooh from Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Someone was going to say it.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever said that word on the show, I think.
Maybe. Mighty?
fur. No, I've said furry before. He says also that Jelly Woman from Dead or Alive 4, which is basically just a clone of Kasumi, and she's like ultra-powered, and she can teleport and stuff. Yeah, there's like 9 clones of Kasumi that you eventually fight. In Dead or Alive 5, there's literally 40... I think there's 69 clones of Kasumi that you fight.
That's a lot.
Really strange, Allie. Allie, did you hear me? Nate Smith, he kind of went the route of the, I played some games, because his choices are Sephiroth, which is fine. I get it. Sephiroth's an iconic villain.
An iconic villain.
Dr. Eggman, which, screw you, Nate. Okay. It's Robotnik.
Yeah.
I will never call him Eggman. He will be Robotnik until I die. Just like I will always call Bowser King Koopa. That's what I was raised on, and that's what I'll die with. Metal Face, I have no idea who that is. Ganondorf. Only if it's the pig version.
Right, which is Ganon.
Yeah.
Ganondorf is the Falcon Punch, but slower.
Ganondorf is the like, oh, we need a villain that appeals more to Hot Topic fans. So let's make this guy into this buff, well-dressed dude. No, he's a pig. He's a pig monster. And, Zia Nort. I know that name from somewhere, but I don't. Cody, help me out. Cause I don't know that one. No. I think it's from Kingdom Hearts.
I didn't finish Kingdom Hearts. It is one of my great shames. It's one of
the 42 sequels, I'm pretty sure. And I'm going to skip his last one because Austin Lane also said it, and I'd rather give it to Austin Lane.
Sure.
The best of the best. From pillar to post.
Yeah! From rope to rope.
Rope to rope, pillar to post.
Future Cape Championship Wrestling Champion. Tick-tock. Tick-tock.
We can only hope. he said Bowser is a classic. Bowser's like Sephiroth. I didn't want to put him on my list because I thought it was too obvious.
Yeah. I honestly like...
I almost put Mario on my list because of Donkey Kong Jr.
Right.
He enslaved Donkey Kong Jr.'s dad.
Right.
It's true.
Part of me wants to even like... The reason that Bowser doesn't click for me is just because it's like... I still subscribe to the theory that everything is a production.
Yeah.
So like Mario 3 actually takes place on that stage.
Yeah.
So it's Bowser's not a bad guy. He's just playing the role of the bad guy.
Right.
Because that's why they go golf. Like that's why they go go-karting. Like I'm about to go beat him at golf when we get out of here.
Nobody plays tennis that much with their enemies.
Right.
Nobody. Maybe Bond.
But
villains.
He is like. I mean, he is arguably the most iconic video game villain.
I would agree.
Ever.
Because like even with Ganondorf, for the longest time he was a pig.
I guarantee you, you put a picture of Bowser, Sephiroth, and
Ganondorf.
You ask any person on the street, Bowser's the one that gets recognized the most.
Yeah, when I went out with Vina, she had never heard of a video game before, but she knew who Bowser was.
Yeah.
Because Mario was that ingrained in, you know, society.
Right.
Aaron Picard said Blue Shells. Yes.
That goes with the Rainbow Road.
Yeah, Blue Shells are the devil. Lavos from Chrono Trigger. Giant thing. What was really cool about Chrono Trigger is you could go kill him at any point, and depending on what time period you killed him in, it would change the ending. It was interesting. Ganondorf again. What is the appeal of Ganondorf? I don't get it.
He looks cool, and he's fun in Smash, and he's menacing, and I mean, I get it.
Yeah. The Moon in Majora's Mask. Legit creepy. MGM Universal for suing Nintendo over Donkey Kong. That happened.
Yeah.
Because they said, you know, he looks a giant ape named Kong. Don't we have that guy on our roster? The suits who bought Atari from Nolan Bushnell and approved the releases of E.T. and Pac-Man.
Sure.
Both bad. The Sega CD, 32X and Saturn, which I have all three of those. The Atari Jaguar, which I never had and always wanted. And then Bison. Also, Mike Tyson in Battletoads in two-player mode. Jesus, Aaron. interesting story. Just can I, just a real quick story. Just real quick.
Yes? Yeah. Okay. I mean, how dare you?
So M. Bison in Street Fighter was actually, and I'm going to get it probably mixed up a little bit, but.
Oh no. I know this one.
Yeah.
It's M. Bison
was Vega.
Was going to be Vega. Vega was going to be Balrog. And then Balrog was going to be M. Bison because Balrog was modeled after Mike Tyson.
Yes. Well,
and then,
yeah,
but
yeah.
They couldn't, so, because they were worried that
M. Bison and Mike Tyson, right.
So they just kind of did that three-way rotation.
And I could see Vega being Balrog. That's kind of a cool name, but yeah. Vega's better. But M. Bison, Mike Tyson, like.
Yeah.
And he looks exactly like him.
Oh yeah. No.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? And last, Cody Sandusky. He said, Sigma from Mega Man X series is one of my favorite video game villains.
Almost made my list. Was very close from making my list. Him and Vile. I was gonna pair them up.
Mega Man's another one that has just incredible villains. Not so much storyline wise. But
just the Robot Master. The Robot Masters and the Mavericks are so awesome.
Or Dr. Wowie. No. You can say Dr. Wowie by himself. Failing. Mega Man. That's a good question. Despite failing, he never stops trying to unify or destroy Reploids and destroy humanity. He abandons his physical form when necessary to become a virus. That is dedication. I don't want to make fun of Cody, but I'm going to, because I don't think he realized he misspelled this. I just have to point out he put he abandobs his physical form. I want to know what an abandob is.
I mean, you can probably find it with the charging Kales. And the lightning chargers.
All right, so that is the fan feedback. We appreciate it. Real quick, we're gonna get to our favorites. Asa, you go first.
Okay, my all-time favorite video game villain. This is the first one that popped in my head. Handsome Jack, Borderlands 2.
Yeah,
he is
personality personification.
He's so charismatic.
Yeah,
he is hilarious at times. He's terrifying at times. He is so, geez, just great. Him eating chips. Oh, hey, buddy. You made it? Oh, that's a bummer. Hey, I got this, diamond, the pony made of diamonds.
That's the thing I remember most about him is the diamond pony.
I'm going to name him after you. Butt Stallion. Just.
Butt Stallion.
It's so immature, but it works for him. Also, that game was written by, Anthony. I can't remember his last name. Birch. Anthony Birch.
Hey Ash,
what you playing? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he helped write on it. That's cool. Is why part of the reason, you know, Tiny Tina is voiced by,
Ashley.
Do
you know who voices Handsome Jack? Cause that voice sounds real familiar.
No, but I'll look it up, but, it's so.
Yeah, I'll look it up. You keep talking.
He's so good. He kind of has a little bit of a tragic backstory. Not really, but. Yeah, you get it.
What is it? Because I've actually never heard that. I guess I never got far enough.
His dad died when he was young.
Is he wearing a mask of himself?
Yes, because he was trying to open the vault because he wanted to. And the thing that I like about him is one of my favorite things about a villain is a villain. Who thinks they're the good guy.
Yeah.
And Handsome Jack thinks he's the hero of the story. He is convinced that he's the hero. What he wants is to get rid of all of the bandits on Pandora and make it a civilized, habitable planet. The way he wants to go about this is by unlocking a vault, releasing the monster inside, and controlling it to murder everyone on Pandora to then start from scratch. And he takes over Hyperion, the weapons manufacturer.
Cause in the pre-sequel, isn't that?
See, I actually haven't played the pre-sequel yet. He is involved in it.
Yeah. Cause I think the opening story, you help him, if I remember correctly.
I think you do. Cause he's, and then there's two of the playable characters are bosses in Borderlands 2.
Right.
Wilhelm, who is just the best sidekick. And that's probably my favorite, bit from that game. Is you go about them, you're finding this lost scientist's journals. And those journals are her recording Handsome Jack attacking the train she's on. And it's him kind of going on about, this is why we're doing this, whatever. And her standing up to him, and him just openly mocking her disfigured face. Which, jerk move.
Right.
but it ends with Wilhelm, his giant robot sidekick. It ends with Wilhelm, kill these savages. And it's, he goes from jokey to just real serious. And, but the way he says it, there's a levity to it. And it's really unsettling. But yeah, he does have a mask of his own face because, in the process of opening one of the vaults, Roland and Moxie, I believe, blow up the key, which then leaves a vault logo embedded on his face and he loses an eye.
Oh.
Yeah. So handsome
Jack. So he's the reason.
Yeah.
A handsome Jack and yeah. he's disfigured. I get it now.
So yeah, he's funny. He's constantly openly mocking you. He thinks he's the hero. He truly believes he's the hero.
And he's a monster.
And he's absolutely a monster.
Right.
Yeah, so he's my favorite.
That's a good choice. I don't have any problem with that. I might have a problem with Allers. Because I've forgotten what it is.
Okay, well, let me remind you.
Yes, please.
It's Dr. Fetus from Super Meat Boy.
Oh, I don't have a problem with Dr. Fetus.
That's...
As ridiculous as it is, there's a little fetus in a glass jar.
Yeah, and I keep stealing Bandage Girl. He's a creep.
Also, it's a jar with a fetus in it that wears a suit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and a little top hat and a monocle.
And then just yeah. off the entire game.
Yeah!
He's a little
Craig from South Park, just meh.
He's one of the strangest villains I've ever seen in my life is Dr. Fetus. Because his name one is Dr. Fetus. Yeah.
Real quick derail because I forgot. I didn't actually answer your question. Handsome Jack's backstory. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But it's so screwed up. So his dad dies when he's little. His mom then abandons him to be raised by her mom, who is abusive towards him. His entire life as he grows, eventually he grows up and has her murdered because just like the abuse is what kind of drove him over the edge. So it's,
he has her murdered.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's not happy.
So what happens to Handsome Jack at the end?
Spoiler alert, but video game villain. So
dead.
Yeah.
Probably for the best. What happens to Dr. Fetus at the end?
I haven't gotten there.
Has anyone?
Really?
Other than liars?
That game is hard.
It is. It's one of those, it's the same thing with Dark Souls. I always want to play it. And just so much props to you because I've seen you play it and I've seen you like beat levels that I'm just watching and I'm like,
and it's,
I would have broken just the TV, the controller, the Xbox, everything.
There's times that I have to stop. I'm like, no.
I'll say, hey, do you want to play some more? And she's just like, no. Take the controller. Like, she's getting visibly angry.
It's that in Dark Souls. It's like, man, I really want to be into these games, but I don't have the budget to go through the controllers at the rate that I think I might. And I'm not a controller thrower.
Me neither, but there was one time in Dark Souls that it was fighting stupid Ornstein and Smaug, I don't know how to pronounce his name, that I quit the game for months because I was like, nope, screw this game. I will never. And I haven't even gotten – I've beat the easy levels on Super Meat Boy just because they are easy and they make me feel accomplished.
Yeah.
But once you start getting to the harder levels, I don't want to play it. And I don't understand how you play it because you're not – I mean, I'm not saying you're bad at video games. You're just not experienced with them.
Mm-hmm.
But you play them and you beat the levels and I don't know how you have the patience to do it.
I have the patience to do a lot of – like. Things like painting, so
yeah, but painting doesn't end up with you splattered in blood everywhere because you're just a little piece of meat.
It also, I feel like, doesn't actively, like, you don't have a painting that's just like, no, you messed that up. No, you messed that up. You know, you have to do it every. You have to do the exact.
Have
same
you
thing.
Tried painting a nose?
But I don't think the painting
because
taunts
I am
you.
The least create. I am the.
It does in a way. You just kind of stare at it. It's like this isn't right. It's not right.
That's how I feel about my actual nose. I look in the mirror and go, that's not right.
That's too big. I think you might have been here the first time he had you play that. Because
it was definitely here.
Because I remember him being like, hey, you should play this game. And my reaction was, don't do that to her. She doesn't play video games.
She has to learn.
It's like she doesn't like video games.
You said that and I was just like, what am I getting into?
It's video games. We're not supposed to be having fun.
Mega Man?
Dr. Wobby?
I could play Mega Man 3 because you got to beat all the Mega Man 2 bosses in 2 in a level.
One of my favorite memories from recently was when Dalton got the Mega Man collection and couldn't beat like the first boss. And then
he
you like
spent like 30 he spent like 3 days.
And then you like blaze through them.
He tried to beat Metal Man stage. And so I sat down on a day I had off and I just came in and was playing Mega Man 2. And every time I would beat a level, I would take a picture and Snapchat it and send it to him. And his responses were getting progressively angrier and angrier until I beat the game. Like Xavier Woods, like I run on this thing called Spite.
Yeah.
So I've never actually beaten Mega Man 2 before.
But I did
that day.
I think more fun than that, just real quick, was watching Zach Price play Super Mario, yeah, and me and Hunter and everybody are sitting behind him and we're just egging him
the
on.
Coach.
And
come
he's
on, coach.
He's shaking with anger as he's playing. He's just screaming and cussing.
Eventually he just storms out. He doesn't say bye.
I think a couple of those videos are online. You find them on my Facebook. They're hilarious. All right, my last pick and my favorite villain of all time in video games is, I think I've mentioned him on the show before, or at least he was one of my three personalities when everybody was doing the what three characters represent you. Arthas Menethil from World of Warcraft or Warcraft 3, who was the Prince of Lordaeron, and he was a knight, he was a paladin, he was this really good guy, like super good. If he were in Dungeons and Dragons alignment, he would be, what is it, lawful good? Mm-hmm. Is like the best you can do.
Yeah.
And when the plague came, when the Burning Legion came and everything went to hell, he was so obsessed with saving his people that he took the cursed sword and became himself the Lich King, which was the evil they were trying to stop. So his obsession with saving everyone and his thirst for power to help turn him into the very monster that they were trying to stop. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, he led the Scourge across, all the way across Azeroth. He ended up almost destroying the Blood Elves. He killed Sylvanas Windrunner and then, made her into a Banshee. I mean, he did some terrible, terrible things. And the saddest part about the Lich King, there's an amazing cinematic where he kills his father and takes the crown. The best cinematic in Warcraft by far. And I thought he was going to be the final boss of the game, period.
Of three?
Of Warcraft in general. Gotcha. Like, I thought if they continue the Warcraft storyline, he has to be the final guy. Mm-hmm. But you kill him in a raid in World of Warcraft, what was it called? Wrath of the Lich King. You just kill him. And there's a great cutscene where his father's ghost comes out and his helmet falls off and he says, you know, what's going on? And his dad says, no king reigns forever. And, I think his last words was like, all I see is darkness. And then he dies. But it's just such a shitty ending for a character that was so good. Like, he deserved better than the Warcraft standard of, you know, oh, you saved the world. Thank you. You were the only ones that could have done that. Appreciate it. Next. Oh, you saved the world. Thank you so much.
That's the thing that I always bug me about RPGs or not RPGs, MMOs. It's you, the chosen one. Only you are the saving grace. Here, take this magical item that there's
it's one of a kind.
This is the only we had to scour through the mountains of Underdeep and go through the Mithril, and it's the only one in existence. Take three steps. It's you, the savior of the realm. Here, take this unique one of a kind.
That's what I loved about Ultima Online. You weren't no hero.
Yeah.
You were just another dude. But yeah, Arthas is one of those layered villains. Starts out as super good, becomes super evil, doesn't really redeem himself in the end. And then, one guy picks up the helmet and says there always has to be a Lich King or else the Scourge will just go crazy and overrun the world again. And he sits on the frozen throne and becomes the Lich King just so there is a Lich King so the world doesn't end, mm-hmm, which is pretty selfless. So Arthas was awesome. I really liked him and I hope he comes back. He's also really fun to play in Heroes of the Storm.
That is something that like I've always, the hearing you and Jesse especially, like, it's so into the lore.
Yeah.
Of WoW. It makes me want to get into it again. Well, not again. Just, it makes me want to get into it, but I feel like I would just have to have, like, a stack of textbooks to be able to understand, like, the intro sequence.
I've played WoW. I've played Warcraft since the first one, before I even knew what Warcraft was. Mm-hmm. But I just played it because I thought it was fun. And then Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3, and then World of Warcraft. So, yeah, I've been deep in it for a while. I don't know about Jesse. I don't know if Jesse started with World of Warcraft or what. But there's a lot of lore there and makes for some very interesting characters, which we hope you found all of our choices interesting. I think they were.
I liked it.
I liked it.
I'm actually really happy with these lists.
Yeah. It was a good list tonight. I absolutely agree.
I mean, I like all of our lists so far.
But I think this one was probably the most diverse,
yeah,
with good reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Next week's our last show, yep, for Villainous Month, unfortunately.
Yep.
And it's going to be
Miscellaneous.
Yes.
I got it.
Yes.
Guys, I did it.
all the things that we couldn't come up with for, you know, books,
TV shows,
maybe real life. I don't know. we'll talk about that next week. It'll be a lot of fun. And then it's going to be November and we don't have a theme. No, I think Cody said he wanted a theme.
Yeah.
For the sports show.
You want to do sports month?
Yeah. That's fine, Cody. Do it.
Do sports month on the sports show.
Yeah. It makes sense. It's so apropos.
I can see it.
We'll be back tomorrow night with Terrifying Tanner Thursday. We're ironing out the details on it. It will be horrible and horrid. I guarantee it.
Spooky, scary skeletons.
Spooky, scary podcast that doesn't have a point. So we'll see you tomorrow night. Thank you for listening. We want to thank Villainous Grounds once again for supporting us. We really appreciate it. Can't say it enough. We'll be back tomorrow with Terrifying Tanner Thursday for Allie, for Asa. Thank you guys so much. Asia, take us out.
That's not my name.